Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick.
This is our chance. This is our chance to deliver relief for the people who sent us here.
Will you get this done by Christmas, Senator?
I hope so.
There is growing momentum for this, and I am confident that we're going to get this done soon, get it to the president's desk, and the president is eagerly looking forward to signing it.
The eyes of the world now turn to the United States Senate.
Well, maybe overstating it a bit, but the eyes of anyone who pays taxes or who runs a corporation that wants a big tax cut should be on the Senate, because the Senate's $1.5 trillion tax overhaul is now on the floor and looks ready to pass by the end of the week.
We do have a few members who have concerns, and we're trying to address them. And we know we would not be able to go forward until we get 50 people satisfied, and that's what we're working on.
The president made a case yesterday for a bill that, if he gets it, would be the only significant legislative accomplishment in a unified Republican government in the first year of his presidency. The president was in St. Louis yesterday.
We cannot sit idly by and watch ourselves losing in competition to other countries as they continue to take away our jobs because their tax codes are more competitive and less burdensome than ours.
This is a major selling point for this Republican tax bill. The vast majority of the tax benefit is targeted at U.S. corporations. For individuals, it's the wealthiest who get the most benefit. Here's the president.
If we do this, then America will win again like never, ever before. The eyes of the world.
Well, we have some more information now on just who will be doing the winning. The Joint Committee on Taxation in Congress put out a report last night. JCT says 60% of American households will see a tax cut in 2019 under this bill. But for most, it's tiny. Two-thirds of that group get a tax cut of less than $100, and the rest, no tax cut at all or even an increase. Ben Castleman is here with me now. Ben is economic, business, and data reporter for The New York Times. And Ben ran the numbers on 25,000 middle-class American families. Ben, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, what's that you've got there? Is that a 1040 form?
I brought a 1040 form just in case. We can be prepared here.
Maybe you and I can fill it out together.
We can work on it together.
Well, I don't want to do that while management is watching, although maybe I should. Thanks for bringing that, because that 1040 form is what American families use to file their taxes. It's going to be important. Ben, 25,000 families is a pretty big sample size. When it comes to middle-class families and how they're likely to fare under this Senate bill, what's the bottom line of what you found?
Yeah, and we actually ran this on about 500,000 families and then just showed you 25,000
at the New York Times.
So look, the big picture here is most families, about two-thirds of middle-class families, would get a tax cut in the first years of this bill. And that in the first years thing is important, and we can talk about that in a moment. But most families would benefit. That would, as you noted, be generally small, but in some cases be pretty significant. But there's a huge diversity here. And, you know, when we've heard talk about this bill, we hear a lot about averages, or you hear about typical families that would win or that would lose that are kind of brought out by proponents and opponents of the plan. But the reality is there's tremendous diversity in American households. The tax code is very complex. And so two families that could look pretty similar on paper, earn about the same amount of money, could win or lose in hugely different ways under this plan.
Okay, a little bit of housekeeping. What's middle class in your analysis?
So we define middle class as anyone earning two-thirds to double the median income, but we adjusted that for the size of the household. So if you're a couple, that kind of puts you in the, you know, earning $30,000 to $90,000. If you're a family of four, you know, that ends up being kind of $40,000 up to $125,000, right? Because it costs a lot more to live with a larger family.
And so you mentioned that American households are very, very diverse. There's lots of different factors that shape how much they pay. What are the most important features of an American family that determine whether they win, lose, or are sort of flush under this tax plan?
Yeah, so the single biggest thing is whether you currently take the standard deduction or you itemize, right? So we hear a lot about all these various tax deductions, the mortgage interest deductions, state and local taxes, right? The majority of Americans actually don't have to worry about any of that. They take this lump sum standard deduction. And under the GOP bill, under pretty much either version of this bill, they would more or less double, close to double that, which means that if you take that standard deduction now, you end up with less taxable income, and so you pay less in taxes. If you itemize your deductions, which is, tends to be somewhat wealthier people, but also includes a lot of middle class taxpayers, especially in higher income and higher tax states, then it's about a coin flip whether you would get a tax cut or a tax increase in this bill in those first years.
Well, Ben, we put out the call to Takeaway listeners who have lots and lots of questions about their own taxes, their own income, and how they're going to do under this Senate bill. Now, we should add the Senate is probably going to negotiate with the House. Some things could change, so this is subject to politics and negotiation among lawmakers. But we know a lot now. Let me read you from a listener in Missouri. We got this note. I'm a single PhD student in St. Louis making $25,000 a year with $48,000 in tuition waivers. I do not itemize. So what about that listener?
Yeah. And so I should caveat this also. I am not a tax accountant or an accountant of any kind.
Right.
And we, of course, don't have all the details on these people's finances. But this listener is a really interesting case. Under the Senate bill, this person would almost certainly see a modest tax cut, a few hundred dollars in 2018. They take the standard deduction. That standard deduction is doubled, lower taxable income. The House bill is a very different story because this is a graduate student. Most PhD students in this country, they don't actually have to pay the tuition that they're theoretically charged. Under the House bill, they would call that tuition income. Waived tuition would be income. And so her tax bills would probably go way up under the House plan.
All right. Let's hear now from a mom with kids, maybe a typical American.
Hi, this is Karen from Forum Park, New Jersey, and I am definitely concerned about the tax bill affecting me. My marital status is divorced. I claim head of household and one child as a dependent. My household income is $44,000, and I do take standard deduction for that child.
So that's Karen in New Jersey, divorced, one child, $44,000 in income, and takes the standard deduction. What does the Senate bill mean for Karen?
Yeah, so it's a little bit tricky here. She would, based on kind of what we understand about what she told us, would probably also get a tax cut of a few hundred dollars. She'd benefit from that standard deduction, but also the Senate bill would double the child tax credit, which means that right now she gets a $1,000 tax credit for that child. Under the Senate bill, it would be $2,000. That helps her. But it's worth noting, New Jersey is a very high tax state, and it's especially a high property tax state. It sounds like Karen probably doesn't own her own home, or if she does, it's probably a pretty modest home. But I'm betting a lot of her neighbors do itemize their deductions, and they would probably lose out under that bill.
And she might be different than her neighbors there. Okay, here's a Takeaway listener. I think we're going to Texas now, to Austin. Listeners who are dealing with debt.
We are a young couple living in Austin, Texas, married. We have an 8-month-old daughter. The one working member of our family is a self-employed freelance editor, slated to make about $80,000 before taxes this year. We itemized deductions, and to make it interesting, we also are paying on at least $80,000 in student loans, and we have between $15,000 and $20,000 in medical debt.
Okay, Ben, $80,000 in income, but also a lot of student debt, some medical debt, and self-employed.
Yeah, and this is – you thought it was complicated before, right?
Yeah.
This is where it really gets a little bit complicated. So that student debt under the House bill would be a big problem for them because they'd no longer be able to write off some of that, at least under the original version of the House bill. The Senate bill, that wouldn't be a problem. However, they itemized their deductions. I sort of had to make some assumptions about how much they might write off, but they would probably pay a little bit more in the early years under the Senate bill, but with an important caveat, which is that The caller said that they are self-employed, or they're free, it's freelance income. Depending on how they structure things, they may set that up as a small business, as a so-called pass-through entity, and as a result could get a big tax cut under the bill. So the details of their finances, and this really sort of speaks to this point about how complicated all of this is, two families with exactly the same income, if they earn it slightly differently, could either get a tax cut or a tax increase.
Depending on how they structure
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And yeah, that could be the difference between getting some in your pocket or giving some
or losing
up
out, right?
Under this plan. All right, let's go to Utah. And this is a listener, I think, who probably falls outside of your definition of middle class.
Hi, I live in Utah. Our total family income is about $340,000 annually. I'm married with three children. We did itemize our deductions last year. Looking back, it was about $50,000 in deductions. $17,000 of that was for state income taxes paid, and I think $12,000 was for mortgage deduction. The rest was charitable giving. And I think we owed about $5,000 due to the alternative minimum tax.
So $340,000, this listener in Utah is doing pretty well compared to a lot of the people that you analyzed in the New York Times analysis. How's he going to do?
Yeah, by pretty much any definition, $340,000 lies outside
right.
the middle class. So this family would probably do very, very well under this bill. They right now pay the alternative minimum tax, which is meant to make sure that kind of higher earning families don't get away with paying too little. Under this bill, they'd get rid of the AMT. They have three children. They'd get a big cut because of the doubled child tax credit and some other sort of details about the way they changed the tax credit. It's worth also highlighting, they're in Utah, make a lot of charitable contributions. Charitable contributions, that deduction sticks around under this bill. A lot of other deductions, including the state and local income tax, which they also benefit from, would go away.
The charitable deduction is reduced in the House bill, though, quite a bit, isn't it?
The charitable deduction, I believe, stays the same.
Both bills. Okay. Well, Ben, I want to ask you about the out years, though. We've talked a lot about how people might do next year or 2019 or 2020. What is Congress saying, though, about how you might fare 7, 8, 9 years down the road? The accountants around Congress think about that stuff. The budgeteers do. Ordinary people don't often get a chance to.
Yeah. So the Senate bill, for example, the way it's written, pretty much all of these benefits that we've just been talking about, the doubled standard deduction, the higher child tax credit, pretty much all of that goes away after 2025. Now, the reason for that is that the authors of the bill had to keep the cost down for some sort of procedural reasons to try to get it through. But if you just take the bill as written, almost everybody would see either a tax increase or no change in the last years of this bill under the individual provisions. The corporate tax cuts would be permanent. Mm. The individual cuts would disappear.
So Congress will have to come back to save the little guy. The corporations have their tax cuts permanent. Ben, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, there are still a lot of negotiations to go between House and Senate, most likely. One or two things you want regular Takeaway listeners to watch out for when they're looking for the final product.
First of all, recognize that this is complex and it's going to affect different households differently. And then look what happens on the corporate tax rate. There's been some talk about bumping it up just a little bit, which would free up a lot of money to help middle class earners.
And there might be more available then for regular earners to have their tax cut if corporations can give up just a little bit.
That's exactly right.
Ben Castleman with the New York Times. By the way, check out Ben's analysis in the New York Times. You'll see a spray chart of dots, red and blue, that will teach you a lot about how you might fare under the Senate bill. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
The Takeaway is supported by Staples, offering technology solutions for businesses, from laptops and tablets to smartphones, and including tech services like setup, repair, and tech security. More at Staples and Staples.com. Staples, it's pro time.